ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
There's no purport until verse 3. So I'll chant 1 and 2 myself, and we'll chant 3 together. Shri Shuku Uvacha. I'll just chant the first 2. Shri Shuku Uvacha. Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Dadat Vrajat. Pratak Samuttaya Vayasya Vatsapam. Prabodayan Tringa Ravina Charuna. Vinirgato Vatsa Udaksaro Harihi. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued. Chapter 12. Shukadeva Goswami continued. O King, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. Having risen early in the morning, he blew his bugle made of horn and woke all the cowherd boys and calves with its beautiful sound. Then Krishna and the boys, keeping their respective groups of calves before them, proceeded from Vrajabhumi to the forest. Tenaiva sakam vituka sahasrashaha snigdha sushigvetra vishana venavaha swan swan sahasrupari Sankhyayan Vitan Vatsan Puraskritya Vinirya Yur Muda. At that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came out of their respective homes in Vrajabhumi and joined Krishna, keeping before them their hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful, and they were equipped with lunch bags, bugles, flutes, and sticks for controlling the calves. They didn't have MP3 players and other equipment. They didn't need that. Text number 3 together. Krishna Vatsaira Samkhya Tire.
Krishna Vatsaira Samkhya Tire.
Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam. Chadayanto Balilabir. Vijakrus Tatra Tatra. Krishna Vatsaira Samkhya Tire.
Krishna Vatsaira Samkhya Tire.
Yuti Kritya Svavatsakam. Charayam Tora Balila Bir. Vijavus Tatra Tatra. Krishna,
Krishna,
of Lord Krishna,
Krishna
Vatsayi,
along with the calves,
Asamkhyatayi,
unlimited,
Yuti Kritya,
assembled them,
Svavatsaka,
personal calves,
Charayantaha,
executing
Arvalila Bihir,
my boyhood pastimes,
Vijakruhu,
enjoyed
Tatra Tatra,
here and there.
Indeed.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves assembled. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Vatsaira Asamkhyatayir are significant. The word asankhyata means unlimited. Krishna's calves were unlimited. We may speak of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, trillions, tens of trillions, and so on. But when we go further to speak of numbers impossible for us to count, we are speaking of unlimited numbers. Such unlimited numbers are indicated here by the word asankhyata. So Prabhupada is giving a mathematical explanation. Krishna is unlimited. His potency is unlimited. His cows and calves are unlimited. And his space is unlimited. Therefore, he is described in Bhagavad Gita as Parabrahma. The word Brahma means unlimited, and Krishna is the supreme unlimited, Parabrahma. Therefore, we should not consider the statements of this verse to be mythological. They are factual but inconceivable. Krishna can accommodate an unlimited number of calves and an unlimited measurement of space. This is neither mythological nor false. But if we study Krishna's potency with our limited knowledge, that potency will never be possible to understand. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Namabe Grahyam Indriyaik Bhaktivisamrita Sindhu. Our senses cannot perceive how he could keep an unlimited number of calves and cows and have unlimited space in which to do so. But this is answered in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Evam Prabhu Priyanam Cha Dhamunas Cha Samayasya Cha Avichintya Prabhava Twad Atrakinchidna Durgatam. Sri Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita states that since everything about Krishna is unlimited, nothing is impossible for him. It is in this sense that we have to understand this verse. Avichintya Prabhavantvat. Krishna has influence, power, that we cannot imagine, we cannot understand. No one can analyze with his brain how Krishna's energies actually work. How it's possible for him to do the things he does. Oh, what is it? Achintya kalaye bhava natams tarkena yojayet. This is a statement in the Mahabharata. Things which are not possible to understand. You cannot explain how they work by mechanical formulas. The project of science is to try to explain everything in terms of the laws of nature, laws of mathematics, and of physics and chemistry. And great attempts have been made. We go to school, and we're trained up in science and mathematics. This is a large part of our education. They don't spend so much effort teaching us poetry and music and art. Some, a little bit of poetry, music, and art. Mostly art science. That's where the money is. That's where the technology is. And that's where we control nature. Through science and technology. That's where we're interested. That's the religion of the modern world, science or technology. And the cathedrals are the big shopping malls. You know, and this is our religion. But there's many things that cannot be understood through science. You cannot understand how there are things which are inconceivable that all the techniques of all the sciences cannot even eventually analyze. The scientists may say that we're working on this, on the analysis. In due course of time, we will eventually understand everything. That's a very bold claim. It was even bolder in the early days of science. René Pascal was one living in the 16th century. He was mostly a mathematician and philosopher. But in that time, science was not so big. One man could be all the different sciences, you know, be a specialist in all the sciences. One man could sit down and write an encyclopedia back in the 16th century. Because there wasn't that much knowledge collected. So he decided, I propose that I will discover all the facts of science in my lifetime. Just someone give me enough money to support me, and I'll finish the work of science all by myself. He claimed that. Of course, nobody gave him the money, and we never found out whether he could really do it, discover everything. But actually, we've found out in the last 500 years since then that even all the scientists in the world, tens of thousands of them, working together, they're still very far from discovering everything. And we learn from the Mahabharata and other Shastras, there are many things that they'll never just figure out. They'll never be able to explain. Of course, how the Supreme Lord performs his leelas, that's beyond the scope of their science. But the statement is more general. Everything that's inconceivable cannot be analyzed scientifically. Even simple thing like how the pigeon is able to fly. How can a bird fly? Okay, there's now a science of aerodynamics. In the 19th century, they didn't understand. 19th century, a man would put on, make a wooden framework and put feathers on it and jump off a hill and try to fly. It didn't work. Because they didn't understand the science of aerodynamics. How the bird's wing is shaped in such a way that the air, more air goes underneath and pushes him up than above. That's aerodynamics. And there's a science to it. And because they know this science, they have the technology of building airplanes. Mechanical birds. And they work. But it doesn't mean that they really understand how a bird can fly. Okay, they have some technique. Just like a man may know a mantra. He can chant a formula and a rakshasa will appear to do his, genie out of a bottle. Say abracadabra and the genie pops out of the bottle. So he knows the mantra. He knows the technique. He knows how. He bought a car and he knows how to turn on the ignition and work the pedals and the steering wheel. But he doesn't really know how the car works. Neither do the engineers who designed the car. How it really works. How is it that your hydrocarbons in the fuel react in such a chemical way as to produce energy that can push your car? How does that work? You don't know. It's inconceivable. You know how to use the technique to make something work, but you don't really understand why it works, how it really works. How does a bird able to, an animal that weighs several kilos, how it's actually able to fly in the sky? That's inconceivable. How can a human being eat and sleep and walk around? These things are inconceivable. So all the realities of our life, many of them are beyond our ability to really analyze how it is that these things are possible. These are achintya bhavas, inconceivable things. They're happening by the achintya prabhava, the inconceivable influence of the Supreme Lord. And that's all that we can ultimately say about it. How it is that I'm able to open my mouth and say something. I don't know, I'm not thinking consciously how to put the words together, they're coming out of my mouth. That is the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Lord. And certainly, how his pleasure pastimes are going on is beyond any scientist's ability to analyze. We have the devotional analysis in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, how the Lord's rasa shaktis are working. But that's just explanation of how we can participate in that rasa. It doesn't give us the technology to dominate. We can't create our own spiritual universe where we're the cynosure of all eyes and the vishaya of all the rasas. Not possible. Nobody but Krishna has that technology to put himself in the center and to create the rasas and control them. We can only be participants. This technology is not a technology of domination. This is a technology of subordinate participation. We can become the ashraya, not the vishaya. We can be on the other side of the devotional exchange, connected with Krishna, but Krishna will always be in the center. In material technology, we put ourselves in the center. We're the enjoyers, we're the controllers. But the spiritual technology has a different dynamic. We have to let Krishna be in the center, and we are on the other side of the devotional exchange, sharing a loving relationship with Him. This is the technology that we have to learn, but it's not a technology of domination, of exploitation. Okay, any questions or comments?
So in one sense, we can never fully understand anything completely.
Yeah. We never could anyway. In everything that we think we know, there are elements that are unknowable. We just assume them. The laws of nature, basic laws of nature. Why is it that things fall down and not up? We can't explain that. It's just a law. It's just we have a law describing it. But we can't say why. You know, someone asked me, why is Krishna blue? Why not some other color? It's just his free will. He wants to be blue. He wants to play a flute, not a saxophone. It's just his choice. There's no reason why. So why is the law of gravity make things fall down to the earth and not away from the earth? It's just the way, you know, we can't explain why. There is no why. Yes. 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 That's correct explanation. Okay.
So, Prabhupada wanted the disciples to construct a planetarium. So, is it
to construct
a planetarium?
Yes.
So, is it possible, because even this material universe is difficult to understand and put in the to show the world how the Vedic
Prabhupada wanted that planetarium show the universe according to the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's possible to present what the Bhagavatam says. To go beyond that and try to say more will be very difficult. And it'll be difficult enough to fully understand everything the fifth canto and other parts of the Bhagavatam says about the universe, the structure of the universe. And we should just stick to what the Bhagavatam tells us. And that's enough. I think that would get confusing. Maybe we can consult other Puranas to fill in some details. But you're going to run into contradictory explanations. If you look at other Puranas, because you're going to see descriptions of different universes or universes of different days of Brahma that are not constructed exactly the same.
Education for life.
Yes. But therefore, it doesn't have any influence. it's considered unimportant. Because it doesn't, you don't, can't use it to exploit and make money and control, therefore it's not very useful. It's for useless people.
Yeah.
Especially philosophy. Art has some economic value, but philosophy is useless.
So what's the... I'd like to know more about art and philosophy, like what's the psychology behind it?
Well, the idea is it's a university, so that all the subjects are supposed to be taught. You know, even the unimportant subjects. But that's the Western idea. That's the modern idea, the Western idea. Vedic culture, the arts and sciences are utilized in the glorification of God. And they are very important and valuable. They're used in devotional service. They're used in the cultivation of Vedic civilization. But in modern world, they lose their purpose. Just, you know, decoration and entertainment. Entertainment. You got free time, you're bored, so you listen to some music. There's no real substance in that. It's a substitute for the real thing. The real thing is music should be used in the glorification of God. Not just cheap entertainment to fill wasted time.
So when we see that art and philosophy is not being applied to the Lord, it doesn't stand. So we see that the real purpose of art and philosophy is to glorify the Lord.
Definitely. And therefore they are as important as science in the Vedic viewpoint.
So that's why we see in the godless civilization, art and philosophy are being diminished more and more.
In the modern civilization, yes. They have some value because, you know, you need some decoration, you need some entertainment, but it's very minimal.
Thank you.
Sure. Did I miss it? Okay. I'm sorry. Get them. I didn't hear all the words because of the bad acoustic, but if you know Krishna, you know all the details, subtle, that. No, you don't automatically get all information in your head when you know Krishna. But it says, Yasmin Vigate Sarvam Vigatam Bhavati. If you know that absolute truth, you know everything. The way I understand it is not that all the information is implanted in your head, but that you know Krishna. So you need to know something, Krishna will tell you. Krishna is in your heart, but a devotee is listening to Krishna, and Krishna is interested to talk to a devotee. A devotee needs some information, Krishna will give it whenever it's needed. In the heart, or some outside the next arrangement. So that's how a devotee knows everything. Krishna tells him whenever he needs, you know, not all at once, but whatever he needs to know when he needs to know it. Okay.
Can it be also that, like the scientists, in one sense, they don't know anything because everything is inconceivable. So they just know some information of some things.
They don't fully know anything, yes.
They don't fully know anything because they don't know the source of everything.
Right.
But we fully know everything because we know the source of everything.
We know the source and the details can be provided by the source. The source is not dead matter. The source is all-knowing and willing to communicate, so we can get from that source all knowledge about everything. Okay?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
That knowledge. he will come to know the Lord's mercy or even his mercy.
Yes.
Then we can understand the things.
Yes. Yes. And, but it comes by actually working in devotional service. When you don't just sit there and think, but when you get up and do something for Krishna, then the realization comes. By Krishna's mercy and by the mercy of the devotees. But we have to do something. We have to actually engage in active service. Then then vijnana comes. Yes. Well, manomoy doesn't really mean mental. It means conceived of in the soul. Manas can mean heart there. Not the brain, but the heart. That means it's not a mental exercise, Vishnu Smarana. It's an exercise of the heart. The heart has to be spiritually awakened. Then naturally, the Lord, you'll be able to see and worship the Lord in the heart. But it cannot happen. A person who is still materially conditioned cannot do that by mental power. It has to be done by spiritual power, naturally. Yes. Yes. You can do that theoretically. You can understand that theoretically and meditate on that, how the Supreme Lord is in your heart. But to realize it, to see it, you have to be very advanced. You have to be devoted. You have to do it with devotion, with an awakened heart, not with the mind. But theoretically, you can think about it in the early stages. Okay. Yeah, one last question. Yes. Okay, Nandaraj had 4 lakhs of cows. 900,000 cows. But here it says Krishna had unlimited cows. Okay, both are true then. Nandaraj, there are 900,000 cows. These cows are Nandaraj's Goshala. But actually Krishna had more cows. The unofficial cows also. You know, he just calls them and they come from the forest. I don't know, you know, Krishna, there's an official Goshala with 900,000 cows, but Krishna has many more cows. Yes, how many? Lakshmi's. Anyway, Shatas, you know, billions, but uncountable. 900,000, but actually many more. Those are the official cows, registered cows. Okay, we'll stop. Thank you, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.